The latest batch of absentee ballots being counted in a close southeast legislative race show twice as many votes going to the challenger than the incumbent. Sitka Democrat Jonathan Christ-Tompkins and Haines Republican Representative Bill Thomas had been tied on Friday at 4,054 votes each. Division of Elections Director Gail Funumiai says an additional 86 absentee ballots were counted yesterday. Christ-Tompkins now has 4,110 votes, and Thomas has 4,082 votes. Any other eligible ballots postmarked from overseas will be counted along with the remaining 26 special absentee ballots tomorrow. The Juneau Assembly will not seek a consultant's input on the likely operating costs of a second sheet of ice next to Treadwell Arena in Douglas. Berkeley, California-based Sports Management Group is already working for the nonprofit Juneau Community Foundation on an analysis of a new ice rink at Diamond Park in the Mendenhall Valley. The firm's report is due middle of next month. It will look at operating costs as well as the potential for revenue generation and cost recovery. It will also look at how the facility could coexist with Treadwell. At last night's Assembly Committee of the Whole meeting, Assemblymember Johan Dibdahl said the report combined with input from city staff was all he needed to make a decision on whether the project should move forward.
If we waited for the results of the study by the foundation, it may tell us much of what we want to know given the study we already did on our own with our Parks and Rec. So I'd have a hard time supporting this second one at this time.
CBJ Parks and Recreation Director Brent Fisher told the Assembly last month that Juneau cannot afford to operate two skating facilities. He also said the city's long-term plans call for a second rink next to Treadwell and not at Diamond Park. Assemblymember Jesse Keel argued in favor of having the consultant do a simultaneous, independent analysis of both options.
If one of these reviews is to be done, I think they both need to happen. Otherwise, we find ourselves in a position of half the analysis moving forward and the other half sitting. And it leaves us in a position down the road where we'll be asked to take some action with half the info.
But with the exception of Assemblymember Karen Crane, other assembly members did not share Keel's concerns. Sports Management Group proposed a $5,500 contract with the city to study the second sheet of ice at Treadwell Arena. The firm's contract with the Juneau Community Foundation is worth $22,500. It's being paid for with a $650,000 legislative grant the foundation received earlier this year for planning and design of the proposed rink at Diamond Park. Representative Kathy Munoz, whose district includes the Mendenhall Valley, inserted the money in the state capital budget. City officials did not request the funds, which can only be spent on the Diamond Park project. The Community Foundation would like to build the skating rink on CBG land at the park and then turn it over to the city to operate upon completion. Fireworks are not a big enough public nuisance or safety risk in Juneau to warrant a partial or outright ban. That was the message Fire Chief Rich Etheridge and Assistant Police Chief Paige Decker delivered to the Committee of the Whole last night. Etheridge said emergency responders don't deal with a lot of fireworks-related calls. In the last 5 years, he said only one person was treated at Bartlett Regional Hospital for a significant injury from fireworks, and they were medevaced in from another community. The chief also said the capital city has not seen a fireworks-related structure fire in more than 5 years.
We don't have the call volume. We aren't having people injured. We aren't having the structure fires that are being caused from fireworks. So from the public safety end, fireworks aren't a huge concern.
Decker says Juneau police respond to an average of about 69 nuisance fireworks complaints each year. Not surprisingly, most of those occur around the 4th of July and New Year's Eve. To put that in perspective, he says the police department responds to about 4,000 disturbance complaints each year. An ordinance in city code prohibits the sale of fireworks within city limits, but possession is legal and there's no law against setting them off. However, it is illegal to set off fireworks on federal land, such as within the Tongass National Forest. Decker says local police do charge people with reckless endangerment or disturbing the peace if their use of fireworks becomes a problem.
But you do have recourse, and it's all in the disturbing the peace statute talks about reasonableness. And if it's the farther you get away from the 4th of July or New Year's, the more unreasonable it really becomes to have those kinds of sounds going off in your neighborhood.
The Assembly asked for the presentation after some members heard a spike in complaints from residents. Assembly member Karen Crane says she would support a partial ban on fireworks with exceptions for days close to the 4th of July and New Year's.
That's the same thing like with seat belts or the helmets. If the law is there, the majority of people would obey it, and it would cut down on the number of complaints.
Decker and Etheridge say Crane was probably right, but a partial ban would do little to change how the police and fire departments respond to fireworks calls. Mayor Merrill Sanford, a former division chief with Capital City Fire and Rescue, says complaints about fireworks increase every so often, and there isn't much that the city can do about it.
Those of us who have been here a while have sat through this stuff three or four times now. So it comes up every two or three years, every 4 years, and we look at it and then make a decision on whether or not we want to get more enforcement or stay the same.
In the end, the Assembly decided it was best to stay with the status quo. By unanimous vote, the Committee of the Whole tabled the issue indefinitely. Oil prices were up strongly yesterday and dropped a little this morning, with Brent crude at $111.34 a barrel, West Texas Intermediate currently at $88.85 a barrel, gold currently unchanged this morning from yesterday in New York spot market trading, currently at $1,731.90 an ounce, lead is down at 99 cents a pound. A think tank in Washington, D.C. is launching a program to elevate Native youth who show promise for shaping future Native policy. As APRN's Peter Granitz reports, it's looking to an Alaska Native woman for inspiration.
Tessa Baldwin started Hope for Alaska in high school after her boyfriend committed suicide as a junior. She traveled the state, visiting villages, sharing her story, and oftentimes alienating those who did not want to talk about a sensitive topic.
The elders in my village would look to me and say, "Why would you talk about this? You're going to cause our children to commit suicide if you talk about this."
Baldwin is now a freshman at the University of California, San Diego. She says she misses the cold weather in Kotzebue, her home. This week, she's in Washington, D.C., serving as the model for a new program called Champions for Change. It's an initiative of the Center for Native American Youth at the Aspen Institute.
This actually started last year when 11 of us youth went to the White House to meet the president to talk about our stories of how we overcame the struggles.
The struggles of suicide have ripped at Baldwin for years. Not only did her boyfriend take his life, so did an uncle. She says all over the state, in every village she visited, people opened up to her about the suicide of a friend or family member. Former Senator Byron Dorgan founded the Center for Native American Youth. He also chaired the Senate Indian Affairs Committee while he represented North Dakota. He says what he witnessed in years of travel in Indian country belie the myths from outside, and that's a key reason for starting Champions for Change.
It's just an opportunity to show the country a different face of what is so often reported. They so often report the challenges, the bad news, but I'm telling you, I think there are some remarkable young people doing great, great things and inspirational things on the reservations as well.
Senator Dorgan says many of the details of the program need to be fleshed out, but all the young adults chosen will be flown to Washington, D.C. to share their stories with the White House. The Champions for Change program is looking for applicants who show promise in the future of Indian policy, those who have emerged as young leaders, those who have overcome personal and emotional trouble. In Washington, D.C., I'm Peter Granitz.